Donald Trump has backed himself into a corner and has nowhere to go. He has no way out of the looming government shutdown that will take place in 4 days if Republicans don't concede to Democrats and stop funding ICE, stop funding the DHS. Again, Trump has put himself and the Republican Party in a position where they have zero leverage over anyone only 4 days before the January 31st deadline. Just to summarize it at a high level, there is a massive government funding bill that is supposed to pass on the 31st of January. A portion of this government funding bill allocates more money to ICE and more money to Kristi Noem's Department of Homeland Security. And Democrats are saying that is not going to happen. Democrats have found a spine and they have drawn a hard line. Now, we want to abolish ICE. We want to completely abolish the apparatus in a few years. But right now, what they are asking for is no more funding without real enforceable limits. For example, ICE agents have to lose the masks. ICE agents need a QR code and a name tag when they're walking around. ICE agents should not have any sort of immunity. They should be held accountable for their actions. And maybe ICE agents should be screened ideologically so they're not radicalized. Now, Trump has no leverage in this situation. Republicans tied ICE funding to this massive, huge $1.3 trillion government funding bill they're trying to push through. Democrats are saying, we will block this entire package, the entire thing, unless the ICE funding is separated out and shot down. That separation would require Republican cooperation, another House vote with Speaker Mike Johnson, and reopening a legislative process the GOP does not want to reopen. So the Republicans don't seem like they want to budge. They have no leverage, they don't know what to do, and they risk a partial shutdown, which then looks even worse for them. So either they have a shutdown that blows back in their face, or they do budge and DHS funding is defeated in the House. Jake Sherman, who's on Capitol Hill, reports, Trump is backed into a corner. President Donald Trump has his back against a wall amid an unexpected government shutdown fight, and he and his party are acting like it. This is the key part. Usually they have this never back down, never defeat sort of vibe to them, but now they're kind of openly panicking. Donald Trump held a two-hour meeting with Kristi Noem and with other leaders yesterday in order to figure out what the hell they're going to do about this PR disaster. They're sort of throwing Stephen Miller under the bus for comments that he made about Alex Pretty being an assassin, but they're also still sending Tom Homan to play cleanup. They're scrambling to continue. Faced with a set of difficult options to address the national uproar over two deadly shootings by federal agents in Minneapolis, Trump has adopted an unusually conciliatory posture that underscores his political vulnerability. This is highlighted yesterday when Donald Trump decided to talk to Governor Tim Walz and Mayor Jacob Frey back to back. He has been so aggressive. He's been threatening Tim Walz and Mayor Frey with prison and the Insurrection Act for the past few weeks, saying he's going to send in troops to lock them up and take over the state. Now he's randomly saying, I had a very good telephone call, a telephone conversation with Mayor Jacob Frey of Minneapolis. Lots of progress to be made. This is pure desperation, just so you know. This is him trying to de-escalate after he realized this is woefully, incredibly unpopular. The problem here is Donald Trump and the Republicans are trying to offer executive orders to the Democrats. He's saying, hey, we'll do executive orders and fix it that way. But Democrats have zero interest in that. They want statutory changes. And good, we need real changes. We need real laws on the books saying ICE cannot be wearing these masks. ICE has to have some sort of identification on their body. If you agree with that, by the way, make sure you drop a like and subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed, both on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. We are continuing to bring the truth in a country that is divided by the president's lies at all times. Continuing, Democrats have zero interest in this. They want real statutory changes, not just executive orders. Republicans fear that if they have to split DHS from the overall funding package, they won't be able to get that through the House again. The context that's important here is that Speaker of the House Mike Johnson's majority in the House, if you even want to call it that, is only one or two votes. Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene abruptly resigned earlier this year, therefore weakening the Republican majority. Then a Republican congressman from California named Doug LaMalfa passed away, which is tragic, but now the Republicans have zero leverage. They have zero leverage. And what makes this moment different is that Democrats are not bluffing. You know, we talk a lot on this channel about how the Democrats are way infinitely better than the Republicans, but they also sometimes don't have a spine. They're too nice, too scripted. They want to play by the rules. But now, after two U.S. citizens were executed in the street, Democratic leadership is unified in a way that we rarely see during these funding fights. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer seems to be, you know, very, very aware of how important this is to people. To continue, Republicans can't get another rule, they say, and they can't pass a DHS bill on suspension. This is a real legislative crisis at the moment. Can I show you all how Republicans and the media are trying to message around this? Because this is the most insane shit I have ever seen. Here is Greg Kelly, a Newsmax host, trying to act like he's shooting someone with his phone. Just look at the dumbass point this guy's trying to make.
I want to show you something. Does that look like a gun? I think it does a little bit. It's a phone. It's black, like most phones. That's crazy stuff.
All right, this is some disgusting, disgusting gaslighting. He is reaching like he's that one guy from the Fantastic Four that has stretchy-ass arms. He's reaching so far. I was going to explode and debunk him, but I'm going to save the energy and just show you what the photos actually look like. This was Alex Preddy like 20 seconds before he was executed on the street. His hand is up in the air, and he's holding his phone like he's recording. He didn't have his phone out like a gun. Sickening, sickening gaslighting. And you know what? I am going to go off. Greg Kelly is an actual piece of shit for trying to justify state executions, and he would endlessly, endlessly do that. But if this was a Biden era police officer, if this was a Biden era agent, and it was a right-winger that died, Greg Kelly would be doing the opposite, doing backflips and gymnastics to try to rationalize how this was an execution. You know, Greg Kelly's messaging was a failure, so let's check out how Megyn Kelly, no relation, how Megyn Kelly is messaging, because hers is perhaps even worse. She's deciding to test the messaging strategy of, I don't care. I just don't care if people are getting executed. That's her messaging strategy. Jesus Christ.
I know I'm supposed to feel sorry for Alex Preddy, but I don't. I don't. Do you know why I wasn't shot by Border Patrol this weekend? Because I kept my ass inside and out of their operations. It's very simple. If I felt strongly enough about something the government was doing that I would go out and protest, I would do it peacefully on the sidewalk without interfering via a whistle, via shouting, via my body, via any other way. I would make my objections known by standing there without interfering.
That is quite literally exactly what Alex Preddy did. He was quite literally standing there off to the side, not interfering, and he was aggressed upon. But I'm glad that Megyn Kelly, not to be crude, but I'm glad that she has like battered housewife syndrome with ICE and with Trump. She literally says at the beginning, you know why I wouldn't get hurt? Because I would be staying inside. Okay, so you'd be hiding inside your house indefinitely until ICE is completely gone? You want all Americans to just be hiding inside of their homes in fear? I thought this was a free country. This is the United States of America. We should have the quality of life to be able to go outside without being effing executed. So I'm sorry that you're too scared to ever even leave your house because of ICE, but I want to live a nice, productive, free life here in America. I want to be able to drive to the grocery store or drive to a friend's house without getting stopped, asked for my papers, and maybe pepper sprayed. I want my mom to be able to drive to work. I want my dad to be able to drive to his dad's house to say hi to his dad without getting pulled over by ICE agents, the ICE Gestapo. Now, you know the Republican Party is in complete disarray because they can't figure out the messaging on this. They're all scrambling, whether it's Megyn Kelly or Greg Kelly or Trump himself. And we have a new report from the New York Times that Donald Trump is so concerned about this response in Minnesota, he, Kristi Noem, and Corey Lewandowski held a two-hour private Oval Office meeting late Monday night. In this meeting, they didn't say that Corey or Kristi Noem were going to get fired from their jobs. But as Jon Favreau points out, quote, the Oval Office meeting also included several of Mr. Trump's top aides. And get this, Susie Wiles, his chief of staff, was there. Caroline Levitt, his press sec, was there. Stephen Chung, his comms director, was there. We know Kristi Noem was there. Corey Lewandowski was there. But Stephen Miller, a top aide to Mr. Trump who oversees the admin's immigration strategy, was not a part of this meeting. Trump held a two-hour meeting with Noem amid backlash, and he cut out Stephen Miller, likely because Stephen Miller's radical immigration policy has gotten them into this mess in the first place. It really does seem like they are throwing Stephen Miller under the bus. It's also uniquely offensive what Stephen Miller said an hour after the shooting. I think he was the one that had the worst response out of anybody in the administration. And that's not to remove blame from anybody else, because Trump very clearly gave the order to go all in on a cover-up. Kristi Noem very clearly accepted that order and was okay with that. Everybody was in this together, but Stephen Miller's response of calling Preddy a, quote, assassin, like 40 minutes after the shooting, I think I can confidently say that's probably the worst response from an admin official we got from this shooting. Trump held a two-hour meeting, and in this meeting, President Trump met with Kristi Noem, Corey Lewandowski. Remember, Stephen Miller was not there. Mr. Trump did not suggest during the meeting that either Ms. Noem or Lewandowski's job were at risk, but it's the latest sign that he's concerned. We've also learned that Kristi Noem will likely be moved to the border. So her job is getting reshifted. It's like a slight demotion. So she's moving from focusing on interior deportations and enforcement to now working on the border, which is a separate issue, which is a, in Trump's eyes, less high stakes issue because he thinks they've already solved that. I do want to point out the odds of a government shutdown, according to prediction markets, has skyrocketed over the past few days. And prediction markets aren't a good indicator for anything other than trends. You can see rapid trends or changes in trends on prediction markets. And when you see the market go from 10% to 75%, that means some big players are dumping millions and millions of dollars into betting on a government shutdown. I'm going to leave it there. My message to Senate Democrats, please keep fighting on our behalf. Please keep pushing and using leverage, even if it feels unnatural or like you're quote unquote breaking rules. F the rules. My message to any protesters who have participated and are participating, thank you for putting your body on the line and for standing up for our democracy. We are going to join you. We are going to continue to keep fighting. My message to the audience that has been watching me and keeping up with the news and honestly supporting me throughout the past few days, I love you all. You're the best. We have been making video after video after video, and it's nice knowing that you all have my back. Just remember that I have yours. I love you all, and peace out.